Miss Abby. Well, I hope you're ready for preaching tonight. I know we haven't gotten back to our Hebrew Bible study, but it has been a blessing to have our missionaries in, and it was good to have one of our friends in. Now, he came, I think, specifically for one of his kids' birthday. That's all the way in the back. He's a back pew Baptist tonight, bro. Amen back there. Amen. I didn't mean to call you out, brother, back there. Amen. But I just, you know, amen. It's all right if you move up now that I called you out, if you really want to. All right, you want to sit with your mama. She'll protect you. All right. Amen. It is good to have Brother Caldwell. Amen. And I know he is the favorite preacher of a lot of our students here. Amen. And so that's because he's their pastor. And so Pastor Caldwell is here from Martinsburg, West Virginia. I'm not sure. That's not really the north, is it?
Not yet.
Not yet. It's working its way up gradually. Amen. But it is a blessing. I asked him if he would preach while he is here, and he agreed. And so I'm so glad that he did. You come and preach for us, my brother.
Preacher, thank you. Amen. All right. Well, the brother Revel handed me this water, Fiji water. I said, man, this is Baptist holy water right here. I'm telling you, this is good stuff. What a blessing it is. It's good to be here with you all tonight. Thank you, preacher, so much for the opportunity to preach. And a lot of the reason that I'm the favorite preacher of some of these kids is because they've been threatened to say that. They're from our church, and so I told them, you better tell everybody that I'm your favorite preacher, even if I'm not, okay? But no, we have a good time, and it is a blessing always to be at Landmark, and it's a blessing to be somewhere where, you know, even so far away from where we are, you're still standing for truth and right, and what a blessing that is. I was amazed that in November you're doing a car wash. That was amazing to me. If we tried that in West Virginia, we'd have icicles hitting your car as we're going. It was pretty cold, and we brought it with us because I didn't want the heat, so we brought the cool with us. So when we leave, it'll go. The car wash can go on and all that stuff, and what a blessing that is. Psalm chapter number 9, if you would, please. Psalm chapter number 9. Again, Pastor Parsons is my friend. I sure love this place. Thank God for it. And it's a blessing to always be here, to see God's hand moving. Thank you all so much for your hospitality for the missionaries. Missionaries Luke and Vivian Magner out of our church were just here, and they'll be going to the country of Italy. They talk so highly of Landmark, and what a blessing it is. Thank you for taking care of them, and we sure appreciate that so, so much. And then, preacher, you and your family just always just roll out the red carpet for us, and we sure appreciate it so, so much being here. And I got to sit in some classes today and learn how when I go home, I'm going to be a theologian. I'm telling you, because I'm listening to all the Bible doctrines. I'm listening to Christian ethics. I'll be in one of Brother Bradley's classes tomorrow and try to keep him awake while he's teaching and all that stuff, and we'll have a good time. And I sure love Brother Bradley, too. Psalm chapter number 9, I would invite you to stand with me out of respect for the Word of God if you're physically able to. Here this evening, we'll get right into the message. I'm just excited to be in church tonight. I hope you are. And it's a good thing to smile. I was looking out, sitting up here, and some people look like they're not glad to be in the house of the Lord tonight. And so we need to be glad to be in the house of the Lord. And so have a smile on your face, get excited about it. And you could be somewhere under the dirt right now, and that wouldn't be a good thing, right? Unless you're saved on your way to heaven, right? But we don't want to rush that. But it's always good to have an opportunity to serve God. Heard some of the young people, or some of the soul winners today, led some people to Christ. What a blessing that is. That's always a good thing. And so never quit soul winning. What a blessing that is. Psalm chapter number 9, and I'm so glad to be here again tonight. We're just going to look at a couple verses of scripture and then go down through this. The Bible says here in Psalm chapter number 9, I will praise thee, O Lord, with all my heart. I will show forth all thy marvelous works. I will be glad and rejoice in thee. I will sing praise to thy name, O thou most high. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we love you. Thank you so much for the opportunity we have to be here tonight. Lord, we thank you for the privilege and honor of standing behind this sacred desk to preach the word of God. Lord, I don't take that lightly. I just thank you so much for the call that you've placed upon my life. Thank you for Landmark Baptist Church and Landmark Baptist College, Lord, and the stand that they have in this area. I pray that you continue to use them. But Lord, we just claim your promise that where two or three are gathered in your midst, there you, Lord, there you are in the midst. And Lord, I just pray that you'll meet with us tonight. All is vain unless your presence is with us. Lord, if there's somebody here tonight that does not know you as Lord and Savior, I pray they'll trust you tonight. But may we leave here just encouraged, Lord, and just charged up for serving you. Lord, we love you. Thank you so much for it. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. Thank you so much for standing. When we look at this passage of scripture, I was going through. I love the book of Psalms and I love the book of Proverbs. In fact, I love the Bible, but when you read Psalms and Proverbs, Psalms are songs and praises that we get to hear about the Lord. And I think it's time that God's people started praising the Lord once again. I think we need to understand that I understand giving reverence to God, but there's nothing wrong with people saying amen, hallelujah, glory to God in church. There's nothing wrong with people that are saved by the grace of God just getting excited about having Jesus in your heart. You know, there's a lot of times that God's people will hoop and holler at the Little League games and we'll stand up and shout and wave the flag and do all those crazy things. Even those people that are crazy up in Wisconsin put cheese blocks on their head, paint half themselves green, half themselves yellow, and they hoop and holler in the middle of a blizzard. But then they'll come to church and they won't give a holy grunt for God. And I think we have done a disservice. We've allowed the charismatics to steal our shout, to steal our praises. And the Bible talks a whole lot about praise. And so I'm going to preach a message to you tonight called this: It's Amazing What Praising Will Do. See, and I'm not talking about getting crazy. I'm not talking about somebody trying to roll around and give some gibberish. We heard about tongues in Bible doctrines today. We know that that's not some unknown gibberish that's going on. But I'm talking about praising God for what God has done. I think it's very important for us to understand that the Bible's very clear that God is worthy of praise, isn't he? God is worthy of everything that we could ever give to him because he's given so much for us. And I want to look at this passage of scripture here. We're just going to go through these points quickly. But I just want to show you a couple things here in Psalm chapter number 9. He said this: I will praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will show forth all thy marvelous works. You notice that phrase there where he says whole heart. Now, I'm an every word Bible believer. I don't think he meant part of your heart. I don't think he meant some of your heart. I don't think he meant the part of your heart that you haven't given to somebody else. I think he's saying, listen, you ought to praise him with your whole heart. That means that everything inside of us ought to be geared toward bringing praise and honor to the Lord Jesus. Giving praise and glory to him. Flip over to Psalm 138, if you would. Just going to read a few more verses of scripture. This is a Bible study night, right? And so we're going to look into the Bible tonight and study some things. Psalm 138, for you college students in West Virginia, you're going to have to take your shoes off for that one. Psalm 138 to count that high, okay? But Psalm 138, and look what the Bible says here. He says, I will praise thee with my whole heart. Before the gods will I sing praise unto thee. I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. Aren't you so glad that we have the Bible tonight? I don't know if you realize this or not, but the Bible is truth. The word is truth. I know if you go to Landmark, you know that, right? And I'm not talking about some NIV. I'm not talking about some ASV. I'm talking about the King James Bible, which is the Word of God. It said the truth. We ought to praise him for truth. And I think we ought to just tonight praise God that we have a perfect Bible that has been preserved and it's still inspired today, contrary to what some people try to say. It did not lose its inspiration through preservation. It's still just as inspired as it's always been. And we can give praise and honor to God tonight for the pages of the Bible that we hold in our hand. I think so many times we take for granted the fact that we have this book that God has given to us and been so gracious to us to give to us. And I think we ought to give glory to God tonight for the Word of God that we have. He said, but praise him with our whole heart. And when I look at verse 1 and 2 back of our text, Psalm chapter number 9, he said this: I will praise thee. Look who he says, O Lord, with my whole heart. And then in verse 2, I will be glad and rejoice in thee. I will sing praise to thy name, O thou most high. I think we need to understand tonight that in the Bible, it's talking about giving praise to the only one that really should be praised. We got to stop praising all these sports stars. We got to stop praising all these singers. We got to stop praising all these people and realize he said, O thou most high. So praise gives glory to God. And that's what praise ought to do. Every believer that has trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior ought to give praise to the Lord. Now, I want you to understand something about praise. It's not what the new modern day churches have talked about, bringing up, they call it a praise team up here. Listen, that's not what he's talking about because they're trying to glory in themselves. What I want you to understand, giving praise and glory to God is thanking God for who God is. You understand, God is not just some person that we put in the closet until we need him. We have a God who saved us from the almighty charred walls of hell. And I'm so glad tonight that I stand here redeemed and justified because of what Jesus Christ did through his death, burial, and resurrection. And I think it's okay every once in a while for God's people just to get excited about the fact that they have Jesus Christ in their heart. And they could raise a hand every once in a while and say, amen, preacher, hallelujah, glory to God. I think if God's people started doing that every once in a while, a preacher may die of a heart attack. Because we think if somebody says amen, we look at them funny. Somebody says praise the Lord and we look back like, what are you talking about? The fact is, God is worthy of praise, isn't he? It said, I will praise thee, O thou most high. You understand that when you praise God, you're giving glory to the one who is all glorious. You're giving glory to the one that is worthy of praise. You're giving glory to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And we ought to start praising God a little bit more than we have been in the past. See, we have a lot of people that know the name LeBron James. And Brother Tyler, I'm worried because a lot of kids think he's better than Michael Jordan. And we all educated folks know better than that, right? But you know what? They know who he is. They know who all these sports stars are. But man, you start talking about Jesus and they get a little uncomfortable. I don't understand if you've got Jesus in your heart, how you get uncomfortable when somebody starts talking about him. When somebody starts praising his name, why you get a little uncomfortable about that. See, you know why the world doesn't want what we have? Because we aren't excited about what we have. If you started praising God once again, just for giving you a new day to serve him, just to give him life, giving glory to God just for who he is, I think it's important for you to understand that God is worthy of our praise and we ought to give glory to him. Look at Psalm 18, if you would, please. Go to Psalm 18. Psalm chapter number 18 and verse number 3. The Bible says this, I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. You see that verse? I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. Do you see that? He's worthy to be praised. Look at Psalm 22. Psalm 22. Verse number 3. But thou art holy, O thou the that inhabitest the praises of Israel. You see, he's talking about the one that took care of Israel, right? Talking about the one that led them. We were listening to that in class today, man. They were talking about how they saw all the miracles that God had done, but yet they still can doubt God. Listen, I want you to understand, God has been good to us. God has been so good to us. And he's worthy of us giving him praise and glory. Listen, we have too much man worship in our society today. Listen, I love your preacher. I love Dr. Carter. And they're great people. And it's not okay for you to say, hey, I'm so glad for what they're doing. But I want you to understand something. The best of men are men at best. And the one that makes any of us anything is God. We're all nothing but sinners here tonight. The difference is there's some here that are sinners that are on their way to hell, and there's some that are sinners that are saved by grace. The fact is, those of us that are sinners saved by grace, we got a whole lot to praise God for, don't we, tonight? Now, I'll tell you what, if we just start getting a shout back, start getting something joyful in our heart once again, be okay when the preacher just clears off a spot and starts talking about Jesus, if Brother Doug just wave his hand and say, amen, hallelujah, glory to God, right? We know he ain't afraid to do that. We hear him on the radio all the time, right? Praise the Lord for that. But listen, it's okay to praise God. I'm not talking about acting foolish. I'm not talking about trying to bring attention to yourself. But I'll tell you this, if God's doing something in your heart and you start reading the pages of this book and you start finding out how wonderful God really is, it's okay to just go, whoo! Good. It's okay to praise God, isn't it? Man, your kids open up a present and you find that thing that you've been wanting all the time. Man, you get all excited. You start running around praising whatever it is that you want to praise, your phone, your iPad, whatever you just got. You just start hooping and hollering, getting all excited about that. Listen, we got the greatest gift we could ever get in salvation, and we ought to just rejoice in the fact that we're a child of God. But praising gives glory to God. It gives glory to God. Go to Psalm 150. Psalm 150. You go all through the book of Psalms, you're going to find praising, aren't you? Psalm 147 says, "Praise ye, O Lord. It is good to sing praises unto our God, for it is pleasant, and praise is comely." Psalm 148 says, "Praise ye the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise him, all ye angels. Praise him, all ye hosts. Praise him, sun, moon." Says, "All ye stars of light. Praise him, ye heavens of heavens." Ye waters. See what it's saying? The common theme here, praise ye the Lord. Psalm 149, "Sing unto the Lord a new song, and his praise in the congregation." Oh, there it is. His praise in the congregation of who? The saints. You know what? It's okay for y'all to praise God in front of each other. Get excited about praising the Lord. But Psalm 150, look, "Praise ye the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in the firmament of his power. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with a sound of trumpet. Praise him with psaltery and harp. Praise him with timbrels and dance. And praise him with stringed instruments and organs. Praise him upon the loud cymbals. Praise him upon the high sounding cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord." Let me ask you a question. How many of you are breathing tonight? Okay. Some people didn't raise their hand. We need to call an ambulance. Okay. Listen, if you're breathing tonight, it said, "Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord." We all ought to give him praise and glory. Listen, I understand we ought to be dignified. We ought to keep things in order. We ought not to get foolish and crazy about things, but it's okay to say amen. It's okay to praise God. It's okay to get excited about the fact that you're not what you used to be because of the change God made in you. And I think we ought to just get back to realizing, and we're breathing in the morning, we ought to get up and say, "Praise God, I've got breath today. Praise God for the one that gave me breath." So praising does what? It gives glory to God. Let's go back to our text. Psalm chapter number 9. Psalm chapter number 9. Look, verse 7. "But the Lord shall endure forever. He hath prepared his throne for judgment. He shall judge the world in righteousness and shall minister judgment unto the people of, in uprightness. The Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in time of trouble. And they that know thy name will put their trust in thee, for thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee." Look what it says, verse 11. "Sing praises to the Lord, which dwelleth in Zion. Declare among the people his doings." See, not only does praising give glory to God, but you know what else praising does? It produces a witness to others around you. You start praising God for what he's done. You know what you're doing? You're telling somebody else about how good God is. It produces a witness. Listen, praising isn't just for you to praise God for who he is. Praise is a public outward expression of what you're doing. You praise God. You know what you're doing? You're telling everybody around you about the goodness of God. You're telling everybody around you how wonderful God is. If somebody says to you, "Hey, how's your day going?" "Man, today is great." "Well, why is today great?" "Because I'm a child of God. I'm excited on my way to heaven. I don't have to spend a second in hell." They're going to look at you like you've lost your mind. But you know what they're going to hear? They're going to hear praises of God. They're going to hear, it produces a witness to others around you. You may say, "Well, I'm just nervous about talking to people about Jesus." Well, why don't you just start praising God in front of them? And guess what's going to happen? They're going to start hearing how good God's been to you. And they're going to look at you and say, "Wow, if he did that for them, guess what? He might be able to do that for me. If he was good to them, guess what? He might be able to be good to me." And open a door for you to be able to talk to somebody because it produces a witness. Look at Psalm 63. Psalm 63. Verse 1, "O God, thou art my God. Early I will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is, to see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary." Look what he says, verse 3, "Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee." Listen, when you start telling people how loving kindness that God has, you start talking about the long suffering of God, the gentleness of God, the goodness of God, the grace of God, the mercy of God, all of those things that God bestows unto us. Guess what? They're going to start looking about how loving kindness God is, how long suffering God is, how gracious God is, how merciful God is. And something inside of them is going to swell up and say, Well, I want what they've got. I want what they've got. But you know what happens a lot of times? People come into church like this, and the preacher gets up to preach. He's studied, he's toiled, he's labored, and he starts preaching the Word of God, and all we can think about is the roast that we're going to eat afterwards, or all we can think about is how long the message is going, or all we can think about is, man, we just can't wait till this service is over, and we don't even give a holy grunt about people getting saved. We don't do anything about that, and people leave here, and they say, wow, that was just as dead as that was me when I got here. Imagine what would happen if people came through those back doors and preacher says, man, isn't it good to be saved? And somebody just stands up and goes, woo, amen, it's good to be saved. I'm not talking about drawing attention to yourself. I'm just talking about when the Holy Spirit stirs up inside of you about the goodness of God and the grace of Almighty God and the mercy of Almighty God. It's okay every once in a while just to say, amen, God, thank you so much for loving me. Thank you for dying for me. Thank you for being the God that you are. Thank you for the word that we have tonight. Somebody's going to see joy in your heart. Somebody's going to see something, and it's contagious. And it produces a witness. So it gives glory to God. It produces a witness. We've already talked about the joy of our salvation. If you go back to our text a little bit, in verse number 14, it says, that I may show forth all thy praise in the gates of the daughters of Zion. I will rejoice in thy salvation. I don't ever want to get over being saved. I don't want to ever get over of who I am in Jesus Christ. Listen, I'm nothing in myself. I'm just a sinner doomed and destined for hell. But because of the blood of Jesus Christ and his death on the cross, God's love for me that gave his only begotten son, that was willing to take my place and die and shed his perfect, innocent God blood on that cross, be buried and rise again from the grave and offer life freely and draw me into himself. I was able to trust him as my Savior. And if it weren't for the grace and the mercy of God, I'd be on my way to hell tonight. But I'm standing here redeemed and justified and wonderfully saved because of Jesus. And it's okay for you to get excited about that. It's not unpopular to be excited about Jesus. Oh, the world may not like it, but they're longing for hope and they want something to rejoice in. They want something to hold on to. And we have everything that they could need. And you just say, listen, Jesus can save you the same way he saved me. He's not a respecter of persons. Listen, can I teach you something tonight? God's not a Calvinist. He's a whosoever will God. That means no matter how far you've gone, don't believe the lie that you've gone too far for God to save you. Because guess what? If you still got breath today, he still wants you to be saved. He still wants you to be saved. And you know what? He's not willing any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You're here tonight and you may have been struggling and the devil's telling you God can't love you because of what you've done. I'm here to give praise to God tonight to tell you this. I was a sinner on my way to hell and God drew me into himself, told me he loved me through the word of God, and he drew me and I trusted him as my Savior. I've never been the same since, and I'm excited about who God is and what he's done in me, and he can do it in you too. And we ought to have joy in our salvation. But I want you to look back at our text again, verse 8 through 10. It says, and he shall judge the world in righteousness and shall minister judgment unto the people of uprightness. The Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in time of trouble. And they that know thy name will put their trust in thee. Church, let me ask you a question. If you never praise God for what he's done in you, how are they ever going to hear his name if we don't say it? The Bible says, how shall they call on him in whom they've not believed? And how shall they believe in him in whom they've not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? You know, every person in this room doesn't have to be the pastor of a church, but you know what you can do through praise is you can preach the name of Jesus to other people. It said, and they that hear thy name will put their trust in thee. Not only does it produce a joy in my salvation, but it points others to salvation. You know what? It's amazing what praising will do. It gives glory to God. It produces a witness, brings joy in our salvation, points other people to salvation. But look at verse 12. When he maketh inquisition for blood, he remembereth them, and for he forgetteth not the cry of the humble. When you start praising God, church, you know what it does? It produces a humility inside of you. Because you start realizing that without him, we're nothing. When you start talking about the goodness of God, we're going to really flip the script on what happens in our life. We get the focus off of us and start putting it where it belongs. See, the Bible says that in all things, he should have preeminence. Some of us need to die to self. Some of us need to quit looking in the mirror saying, man, I look good. Guys, let me help you with it. The mirror's telling you lies, okay? Telling you lies, fellas, all right? You know what? But God's good. And every morning when you look in that mirror, you're staring at your biggest enemy, self. You know what you can do? Just start praising God for who God is. You know what it does? It produces a humility in you because you realize that without God, we're nothing. You start thinking about all the blessings that God's given to you. You start thinking about the goodness of where he brought you from to where you are today. You know what? I believe if we gave testimony time right now, there's a lot of people who could stand up and just say, man, I'm glad I'm not what I once was. And you know what we can do when we think about that? It produces a humility in us to realize that we're just nobody. We're nobody. But there's a lot of pride-filled people, and they think life is all about them. We live in a society today that all they want to do is me, 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 I. It's all about me. But when you start praising God, you take your focus off of you and put it on him, and it produces a humility. Go to Psalm 42, if you would, quickly. We're almost finished. Psalm 42. Start in verse 9. I will say unto God my rock, why hast thou forgotten me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of mine enemy? And I started reading that, and I'm thinking to myself, well, God hadn't forgotten us. And then he says, verse 10, as with a sword in my bones, mine enemies reproach me, while they say daily unto me, where is thy God? Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within thee? Look what it says, hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God. Listen, when life seems like it's turning you upside down, you know what you do? You praise God. And you know what happens? It removes your worry. And you just start putting your hope back in God. If you got worry in your heart tonight, let me help you how to get rid of worry and how to get rid of stress. Praise God. Just start praising God. You know what happens? All that stuff that seems stressful kind of starts paling in comparison to all the goodness of God in our life. We have a good time of focusing on the negatives, don't we? Because it gives us drama to talk about on Facebook. The negatives give us drama to talk about. So everybody wants to come, Dr. Vercellus, and coddle to us. We start talking about how horrible life is. Shane starts saying, oh, my leg. And you know what? Everybody could look at Shane and say, oh, poor Shane and his leg. Or we could say, hey, God, thank you for being wonderful. Thank you that all I hurt was my leg. Could have hurt a whole lot worse. But God, you've been so good to me. I don't know why you hurt my leg, but you know what, Lord? I know you've got a plan. And you know what? I'm just going to hope in you, God. And I'm just going to trust in you. And one time I am afraid, I will trust in you. And when I don't understand what's going on, God, I'm just going to trust in you. When I don't understand why this life is doing what it's doing, I'm just going to trust in you and know that you have all things in control. And I'm just going to start praising you. And pretty soon the worry goes away. Pretty soon the doubt starts going away. Pretty soon all that stuff starts going away because you're looking at the one that's got the answer. Listen, it's amazing what praising will do. Listen, when you bring glory to God, the word glory means to have adoration and honor. You understand, we ought to adore him. We ought to bring honor to him. But listen, when you start praising God and crying out for God, you know what it does? It brings glory to God. It produces a witness to others. It's joy in salvation. It points others to salvation. It produces a humility in you. It removes worry from your life. But jump over to 2 Chronicles with me quickly. Second Chronicles chapter number 20. if you know anything about 2 Chronicles 20, this is the invasion of Judah, and they're praying to God for the deliverance there. And if you look at verse 17, look what it says. You shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground. And all Judah and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. Listen, I want you to understand something. Praise produces worship. You understand, when you're praising God, you can't help but then fall on your face before God and begin to worship God. See, worship is something I do privately in my heart to God, and I praise Him outwardly so that others can hear it. But understand this, it said that they worshiped the Lord. In verse 19, and the Levites of the children of the Kohathites and the children of the Korahites stood up to what? Praise the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice on high. And they arose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness. And look at what it says. It says, continue down. It says, believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper. Here they were being invaded. They begin to pray, cry out, worship God. Then they just begin to sing his praises again. And you know what happened? God provided a defense for them. Listen, when you start praising God and worshiping God, guess what? God protects you. He brings a defense for you. He said, you're not going to have to fight this battle. You know what happens whenever the devil comes your way? Instead of just grumbling to God about the fight that you have to fight, how about you just start praising and worshiping God? Praise and worship God. And you know what God will do? A lot of times, what I've found God has done in my life is he fights that battle for me. Listen, he's the one that already fights our spiritual battles, because he says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand. It didn't say put your armor on. It says put his armor on. Listen, you can't fight a spiritual battle with fleshly weapons. But I'll tell you what some of the biggest weapons we have. Praise. Worship to the Lord. Not the stuff that you see the charismatics doing. I'm talking about true praise. I'm talking about giving glory to God tonight. Listen, Landmark Baptist Church, God used this place in a mighty way. But never lose your shout. Never lose your praise. Because God is worthy of it. God is worthy of it. If you're here tonight and you're saved, are you glad you're saved? I think you should be glad, right? Should be glad. Rejoice in your salvation. You ought to give God praise for it. And those of you that aren't saved, guess what? You can praise God that He loves you, and there's still time. And you can trust Him tonight. With our heads bowed, eyes closed tonight, I wonder if we just leave here tonight realizing that it's amazing what praising will do, and we just start learning how to praise God once again. Lord, we love you. Thank you for the day. Thank you for the time we have to be here tonight. Lord, I ask you to use this message to speak to hearts, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's stand together tonight. It's been a good message. It's amazing what praising could do. Maybe you want to come and praise Him tonight. Just get down on the altar and talk to God and say, God, I'm sorry. I haven't been praising you like I need to. Amen. Not just in the congregation, but thanking you for all the blessings that you give us on a daily basis. Maybe you need to come and speak with Him tonight. Do business with God. You can do that. Maybe you're here tonight and you don't know Christ as your Savior. We could take the Bible and show you how you can know for sure that heaven's your home for a Bible reason. All we need you to do is step out. It's an invitation. We invite you to step out and come to the front. Let us take a Bible and show you how you can know for sure that heaven's your home for a Bible reason. If you're like that tonight, why don't you step out? I'll meet you in the front. Brother Burt's going to sing. But you do what God is asking you to do tonight.